And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, how are you? What's going on?
Good. Just reiterating the need for a panel on Jared versus Joe.
There was a tough loss for you yesterday. Apparently three losses in a row.
Yeah, you know, sure.
I'm just telling you what the results are.
You're right. I mean, there's no board to protest the results, so we must have a panel. If you guys would like to apply, I'm going to hold tryouts for the panel.
Okay.
I'm gonna play like 10 Jared takes, and I'm gonna ask you how many of them are outrageously ridiculous, laugh out loud funny. If you pick at least 7, then you have a chance.
You know, they say, you know, you go 3 for 10, you end up in the Hall of Fame in baseball.
That's right.
He would be, I think, safely a Hall of Famer.
Gets his own wing, okay? He's in the skip wing.
Yes. No question about it. Michelle, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Doing good, guys. But like I said, I really need to focus on my sleep. I go to bed at 11 o'clock every night. I don't understand how I'm functioning right now.
You're still doing this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
So wait, so you're going to bed and not falling asleep till then, or you're just like staying up till then? Because you can control this at some point. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm going to need to at some point. Yeah, it's just all of a sudden I look at the clock and I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to get 4.5 hours of sleep. Yeah. We probably should fix this.
Why don't you set an alarm, like another alarm at night to remind yourself.
Like, hey, it's time to go sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go night-night.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, I will. Maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's a thought. It's just a thought.
I was watching Hard Knocks in my defense. So
okay.
It's an excuse.
Well, I didn't go to sleep last night until 11 either, but it's like throwing me totally off.
But you had a charity softball.
I did.
Yeah. So you had a reason for that.
Yeah, but it's. I'm just saying. Like, I've done it one time, and now it's just throwing me for a loop.
Yeah. How'd you do, by the way? How'd you do with the plate?
I was 2 for 4. Pretty good. I hit all four of them hard. Two of them just happened to be right at people.
Adam balls. Yeah. Yep.
But we won, so it was good. Big nice. Joe Dubin was out there. Chris Sanders was out there as well at the Big Bubba's Bash.
Raised money for? Tennessee.
The Humane Society of Sumner County.
Nice. So,
had a bunch of puppies and kittens running around out there last night, too. It was paradise.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
It was. It was cool.
I mean, just being able to hang out with Big Joe is paradise enough, man.
Yeah, I mean, Big Joe, I couldn't believe it. He was in right field and made like an on-the-run snow cone catch across his body. And I was for sure that he was just going to get absolutely toasted. But he didn't. Made the catch, and he got on base. They overthrew the ball from first to second, so he decided to run to second, and they tried to throw him out and hit him squarely in the spine, and he just dropped to the ground and laid there for about 5 minutes.
Wow. He's just
big stuff last night.
Wherever he is, he's basically just the big furry mascot that, you know.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how that went. Speaking of big furry mascots, I don't know where I was going to go with that. So I'm just going to leave that one alone.
I can't wait.
How was day one of Titans practice yesterday against the Bucks? Do you see any mascots out there? T-Rex out there? Does he exist anymore?
You know, I didn't. And you would think, I mean, I believe that in the past with fans on fan days, they've had their fan days have been sort of, I think basically it's like season ticket holders. So it's kind of a limited, but still, some of them would probably like some T-Rex.
Who will?
Although the kids are in school now, right? I mean, for the most part, not too many young people. There are some young people who aren't in school yet who are out there, but, that's kind of weird. Or maybe he was out there and I didn't see him. The big thing with yesterday that really struck me, because all through camp or before camp, it's like, wow, those days are going to be – those will be good days. Like, it's all so boring. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm with Vingan, and Vingan says it all the time, and he said it last week too when he was doing the show. Like, how do you guys – taught this much about football practice?
Well, this has been a thing that,
it's amazing. And again, good for the NFL. Because even with college football, they have camp going on, you have availabilities, you have interviews, you're working on stuff, but these college football coaches aren't letting you watch anything anyway, for the most part. You know, Pete Carroll used to let, like, Snoop Dogg come to practice, and anybody could come to practice. But the NFL has figured out a way to dominate the news cycle at all times. I understand it's the preseason now, But man, we make, it's just like even this argument with Jared yesterday, it's just like we make so much of things that really don't. They don't. There's correlation because you're trying to get ready for the season. But like Caleb Farley has a tough day yesterday. Okay. And then he had a great day the day before. That's ups and downs. And you know what? He's going to probably have some good games and some bad games too.
You think?
We need football games, man. Yeah, I know. It's brilliant commentary. Like, you know. I'm Confucius over here, but I thought yesterday it was like, this is going to be great. And then I was like, yeah, it's just, again, it's just practice. I mean, different players, so you get to see a different look, but man, get to the football games.
So did you,
how long do we have?
Did you spend most of your time yesterday watching the Titans offense or the Titans defense?
I watched the offense, and that's another thing. I know a lot of people are like, now tomorrow I'm going to switch to the defense. I don't know. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just stay with the offense. I don't know. Yeah, mostly watch. I mean, there's a, you can go to one side where you're, where you can see both fields pretty decently. So I did some of that, and I saw a little bit of Jeffrey Simmons just throwing people around and you know, looking dominant. But
you think he's going to be ready to play for the season?
That guy. That's the thing is, apparently there was a little bit of shoving, which I missed. But like Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times tweeted something about it. There was a little bit of shoving and like a drill, because like the guy who like the,
he throw the football at Simmons.
Yeah, I guess he threw the football at him. He's mad because he got too close. And this isn't like a, this is like one of their support staffers.
Yeah,
it's like, are you kidding me, dude?
Buddy?
Hey man,
you may want to pick any other target out there. Yeah,
you might want to just chill that out a little bit. But I missed that. I know that, you know. When I was on the show yesterday, right? Vrabel had everybody together and, you know, probably scared a lot of people into not fighting. And it was a pretty chill day.
You think that part of Vrabel's speech is, if you guys fight, you're going to have to fight me?
That might work.
That's your punishment. I'm not throwing you out of practice. We're just going to line everybody up in a circle. You're going to take off your pads and we're gonna fight.
That might work. That would probably work at least on the, you know, the skill players, right? I mean, maybe some of the linemen would be like, okay, old man.
Yeah, like that might actually encourage like Jeffrey Simmons to get into an altercation in practice.
Yeah, right. Simmons like, I've always wanted this chance. Yes. Actually,
here we go.
Or Vita Vea is like, sure, yeah, let me, I'll get in on that. But I don't know, but it was pretty chill. And yeah, I mostly watched the offense. And other than, my God, please give us actual football games. I'd say. The thing that really hit me in the face, and again, it kind of goes into everything, these arguments with Jared, and it just won't end. But yesterday, you know, Ryan Tannehill looked good other than a pick. That's three, by the way.
Ooh,
he's headed toward two more, and it's a terrible season ahead. But on a play-by-play basis, drill by drill, he looked good and looks good. And there is such a drop-off from him, you know, to the two backups. They just both really struggled yesterday. Malik Willis, like in 2 minutes, you know, some of it is just lack of awareness on some things, but just missing passes. And Woodside tried to throw a couple picks when he had a chance in 2 minutes. And, I mean, it's just rough right now with those guys. It seems like both of them are, again, Willis is totally different. Talked about it ad nauseum. Long process of trying to, you know, get up to speed and everything. But Woodside, it feels like he's, I don't know, faltering a little bit, losing some confidence. I don't know what it is. He's got to play better.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, I don't feel like we've had these conversations about Logan Woodside the last couple of camps in terms of just missing throws and throwing picks left and right. This feels like a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like they, and you know, of course, everybody from the start, like, Logan Woodside, come on, get him out of there. And then people come in like, okay, now they have their backup. And then Logan Woodside is better, markedly better than that person in camp, right? Daily in practice. And I would say most of this camp, he's been fine. He's been pretty good. You know, he's been efficient, balls out fast. He knows where he's going with it, and typically he's fine throwing it. It's like you go from that preseason game, and again, I feel like a couple practices since then have been like, man, but it's a confidence game too, right? I mean, this is – sports is so much mental, so much confidence. But it's just yesterday watching that, like we've talked before about when the Patriots were here and Brady's out there, and then you're like, oh, now let's see Marcus Mariota play quarterback, you know, in the 2 minutes, like, huh, those guys play the same position? You know, I mean, it's like that with Tannehill and his backups, which makes me wonder. One, I mean, there is a discussion to be had about, like, the backup QB this year, but also, like, on this team, you know, where are the real concerns in terms of if you lose a starter, let's say, for just, like, a couple games, what are the real concerns? They got some. They got some positions that are in good shape and some that are not at all.
I think they've definitely got some, and we're going to get to some of that coming up here in just a few minutes. Matt from D.C. on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, sounds like reading about 11v11, our defensive front seven could be the best in the league, and our defense could be top five. It was coming from Matt from D.C.
So here's the thing to keep in mind, Matt, and someone brought this up on our show yesterday. Was it Almond? No, I don't know. But someone remember, first of all, very good defensive front. Could be up there, no doubt. Also, Tampa Bay just lost their center, yep, and they're new at guard, and that's, I think, their weakness is probably the interior of their offensive line. So it's a strength against weakness matchup here. That's there are other spots. Like, again, Titans offense, they got some great looks yesterday from those guys, and we'll talk about some of that too. But that's where they're not great, and that's concerning, you know, for Brady. You know, we all know when Brady's had his worst games is when that pressure's come up the middle. I mean, this year you got to worry about that if you're the Bucs. Other than that, I like their team a lot.
Well, John McClain yesterday.
It was McClain. McClain is the one who made that point yesterday.
The quickest way to get to Brady's up the middle, and that's a pretty big concern right now for Tampa Bay. So,
and Jeff Simmons, yes, he apparently had a field day with that.
I would imagine that he did. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the depth for the Titans. What areas of concern do they have as we comb through this roster? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Competed against Julio, obviously, a lot last year. What was it like competing against him today? Did you get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I did, man. He made a couple plays. He made a play in the 2 minute over there. But obviously, you know, future Hall of Famer. Anytime that any of our corners, Caleb, Roger, they can line up against him, I just talk to him like, hey, this is what it's going to be every single week. I mean, it's a future Hall of Famer, so it's a good guy to kind of, I wouldn't say compare yourself against, but you know, it's the type of receivers you're going to see week in and week out when you're facing those number ones. So obviously it was good to see him out there healthy and going out there practicing, going hard.
It was a rare sighting yesterday, Julio Jones on the practice field here in Nashville, Tennessee. I think I'm like the 30th person to make that joke this week.
Yes, yes. Chase popped on yesterday, made the joke. But then I was like, Chase, you can't make the joke unless you know he's on the field. I was like, well, I assume he's on the field.
Well, I guess he was on the field.
He was on the field. But he was on the field. Actually, Michelle and I, for a minute, we were like angling toward Julio.
Yeah, it was funny.
There I probably like, watched the whole practice.
There was like
no, it was after
a
practice,
line.
And he was trying to avoid, which he did.
He was walking with Bud Dupree in the middle of the field, and there was literally a line. At one point, I looked up, and it was like Glennon, Gentry, PK, Joe, Nikki. They all were just kind of in a line, and everybody was just staring at him.
And then I had someone – I had Ola came out because I'm doing an interview with him for a story, so I broke away. So did Julio – did someone actually say, hey, will you talk? And he said no.
No, nobody actually asked.
Nobody actually approached him?
But then like TV was
over there.
Because
Nikki was like, I'll go ask him. I'm like, yes. Let's see what he says.
Get in there.
So today he must not. Come on. Someone's got to be like, come on, Julio. Come on.
It was funny. Everybody was just following him, but nobody said anything.
So then he just sort of drifted away.
Yes. Maybe that's the Kaharsky mission for today.
How weak, Kaharsky. God.
We'll get into Julio coming up a little bit later in the program. I am interested to get your thoughts on how he looks, and we'll get to that coming up a little bit later. So we're looking at kind of the depth of this Titans team right now, and you brought up the quarterback position, and it's been a bit concerning this past week from both Malik Willis and Logan Woodside as well. So as you look at this roster, Joe Rexrode, what are maybe four or five positions that you're looking at right now that maybe there's some concern as it proceeds to the depth on this roster right now?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just very clear, number one, and this is probably a no-duh answer, but it is quarterback. right? I don't know that there's a close second for worst second than quarterback. Logan Woodside, again, I think that he could, in a certain situation, in a pinch, he could come into a game and run the offense, run the game plan. He could be a limited game manager in a win that you play great D and run the football and you have to throw not too much to win the game. There aren't a ton of games like that in the NFL, but like it's possible because this team is built well. But it's just a massive drop off again. So, on the Jared versus Joe segment yesterday, Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated was on with Jared on a serious show and said he thinks like Malik Willis and Tannehill is like Malik Willis could come after his job this year. It's almost like, when you tell the kids, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. If you don't have any idea what is going on with a particular team, just don't talk about the team. That's the best idea, because that's just insane, man. Neither of these guys would ever come within miles of threatening Ryan Tannehill's job this year. And if it was a long-term thing with Tannehill, you can just wait till next year. That's just how it is. Well, no matter what you think of Tannehill, if he goes down for an extended period of time, see you next season. I mean, I believe that. And after that, to me, safety I think safety is my next one. You got really good starters. And by the way, Hooker was out there yesterday, so that seems to be all the moves, Gillespie and everything, it's not a Hooker reaction. That's good news for the Titans. That's probably the biggest news of the day, honestly, for the Titans, just the fact that it's not some disastrous thing with him. Now, you do have Theo Jackson hurt, and he's, I think, a guy who has been trending toward definitely being in there. A.J. Moore is a third safety, but it's a drop-off. You don't want to get there. Byard, Hooker, you feel great. Anyone else, you don't. So I think that's second. Although, here's the thing. I think the two positions where you don't have – you're also not sure about starters, they have to be on this list too, right?
I totally agree.
So, really, you could make the case that, like, offensive guard is worse than safety because, I mean, at this point, Jamarco Jones is the swing guy. And I just don't have a great feel for him being effective. He's also hurt now, by the way. So yesterday, then Nate Davis yesterday went out after not much of the practice, and Jordan Ruiz was in as the number one right guard. So, yeah.
It's not what you want.
So, yeah, I mean, really, you can make the case that that's second, or you can go with offensive tackle. Now, the thing with tackle is, depending on what you think of Raidens, and look, all I know is that almost the entire day yesterday, Raidens was with the ones. Petit Fair got a little bit of look there, but for the most part, Raidens was with the ones. I put that a little bit further down the list because I think, like if Raidens or one of those guys is your swing tackle, like, okay, that's not disastrous. That's not quarterback. That's not even like safety, but it's still not great. And then inside linebacker is the other spot to me, obviously. I think Chance Campbell's actually – I think he's definitely shown some promise. He seems to really have a grasp for what's going on out there, and he's in position to make a lot of plays, so that's good. Monty Rice is hurt, and Long, Cunningham, drop-off. Those five stand out to me as problematic. I think the depth, if you have to go to your fourth corner, you feel fine if that's McCreary. I mean, receiver may not be top shelf good, but I think the depth there is a lot better than we thought. Tight end depth, by the way, Briley Moore, one of my picks to make the roster, cut. I was surprised by that. But, if Hudson's your fourth guy, Swaim is your third guy or whatever, Chig's your, however you look at it, the depth has gotten better there.
Well, I know this. Based off the final 3 minutes of our show yesterday, I think you said Chig's name like four times. He was out there making some plays.
Yeah. Now, that was individual.
It was.
So – that's, it means more to me if you do that in seven, and then it means even more if you do it in team. But yeah, you put him out there on a safety or linebacker,
they're going to have problems.
They're going to have problems. So I think just about everywhere else is fine. D-line depth is good. Outside linebacker depth is good. Weaver, Ola. But those five positions are – you do not want injuries.
No question. And – Look, I think I'd probably have tackle a little higher than you do, from the simple standpoint of I don't even know if your starter's good. So yeah. Like,
that's the thing. Yeah, you could put it high on the list because it's like you don't even feel good about your starter,
right? Like, right. I don't know if your starter's good, and if he's not, and Petit Frere's the backup, and he wasn't good enough to overtake Radins. Like, what does that tell you about where he is or how far away he is right now? Like, again, I think some of this we're just going to have to figure out. I think some of this the Titans are going to have to just figure out as they go along here. Michelle and I were talking about it yesterday. Like, there's a very real possibility to me that this is just going to be maybe see as you go as the season goes along here and just hoping for the best at that point. I still believe Petit Frere eventually is probably going to end up being the starting right tackle, be that week one or week nine or whatever, but I think there's a very good chance we get through the rest of the preseason, and one of the things we're talking about in week one leading up to the Giants game is, man, sure don't know how I feel about right tackle over there, regardless of if it's Radins or Petit Frere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the good thing with on the Petit Frere front, look, if he doesn't quite overtake him, well, it's however you want to read that. And it's like, gosh, you would think that he'd be able to overtake Radins. Radins has improved. Like, there's no question. Radins has improved. If you want to compare last year to this year, which is a thing we're doing a lot this month, how someone looked last year, how someone looked this year. Some players look about the same.
We're going to talk more about that at 7 o'clock with Jared Stillman. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
And some don't, and Radins doesn't. The question is, okay, but is that good enough? Honestly, there were times Radins yesterday was lined up with – he had Akeem Hicks across him. Now, one time, and I didn't see it, I didn't get a good look at it, but you know, apparently Akeem Hicks basically just launched him into the sun, as you like to say.
Well, I think TD's phrase was, "I just witnessed a murder."
Yeah. Yes. So, but again, is that a surprise? I mean, Akeem Hicks can do that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
There were a lot of team periods with the top guys out there for the Bucs, which is really why I was more interested in watching the Titans' offense. I just think they're getting a better look this week. I thought Radins was okay. I mean, it wasn't disastrous. Now there was one play where Devin White came on a blitz and Radins blocked no one, and that was, I looked at that play, I was like, is that a Radins miss, you know, not seeing the play correctly? Probably, because he's in his pass set and there's like no one. And meanwhile, Devin White's over to his right, flying around the edge. By the way, Tannehill did a great job of rolling left hard, throwing kind of the other way across his body, finding Robert Woods in the middle of the field for a big play. That was in 2 minutes. It was a really nice play by Tannehill. Never did that last year. Who is that guy? Who is that Dan Marino over there? I don't know, Dan. I can't see too well. Who we got over there? John Elway? But anyway, that was a
– Brett Favre?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But that was not a great play from Radins. But I thought, like, at time, when he was engaging with some of those guys, he was okay. What does it mean? I don't know. Bring me a football game, please.
You got one on Saturday. Looking forward to that one coming up this weekend. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the depth of the Titans. Highlight a few more areas of concern that Rex Road has discovered. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock, and we'll have a doctor on standby for Rex Rhodes' blood pressure at that point as well.
Nah, I'm going to keep it chill, man. I was actually totally chill yesterday until we got to another episode of here's a predetermined outcome question that we both agree on and we know you disagree on, so.
I'm going to the panel.
Whatever. Yes,
petition
the panel.
Petition for the panel.
Yep, petition for the panel. Who would like to be on the panel?
I think Dr. Phil needs to be on the panel.
Well, I think it's probably a good first step.
What are you trying to say?
It just makes me worried, Rex. You're all fine, and then it's like, flip the switch. And I'm like, oh, goodness, as I'm listening.
It doesn't make me worried.
At least Caroline Rexner wasn't in the car with me. I think there's something to be said, though, for letting out these frustrations rather than bottling things up, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Just, feel better afterward.
Yeah, right.
We love a good vent. That's why we rant every day.
Let's call that healthy.
Yes. Let's please do that. So we're looking at the depth on this Titans team and trying to identify maybe the weakest positions in terms of the depth. So we talked about right tackle. You know, the left guard position battle, I don't think is really a position battle anymore. I think it's Aaron Brewer's job at this point. But I am worried about the depth behind that. The middle linebacker part of this is interesting because, as you mentioned, Monty Rice is out. And I think you could say this for the most part, about the defensive side of the ball. Like most of the starters, you feel pretty good about on that side of the ball. We'll see about Caleb Farley. Apparently he had a little bit of a tough day yesterday. But, you know, I think the physical, as long as he can stay healthy, like the physical tools are good enough where I think he's going to make his fair share of plays as well out there too. So starters, for the most part, on defense, you feel good about. You lose a safety. You lose a middle linebacker. And all of a sudden, I think that starts to get tested. Like, you don't want to lose an outside linebacker, obviously. You don't want to lose Dupree or Landry. But I feel okay about Rashad Weaver. I feel okay about Ola Dainey. This is the reality of a salary cap. Like, there are just going to be positions where if somebody goes down, you're probably not feeling great about the depth that you've got there. And middle linebacker at the moment, not knowing what's going to go on with Monty Rice, is definitely one of those spots for me.
Did you say salary cap?
I did say that.
Yes, it does exist. That's the thing. You have drafted. I mean, you've drafted to have depth at various positions, but you have to make choices. And it's no one's fault that Monty Rice got hurt. I don't have any idea if Monty Rice would be a good option this year if he wasn't hurt. Like, I have no idea. I do think that Chance Campbell, that seems to be a decent pick. I mean, but if Chance, you know, it's like you're watching practice and he's moving well, seems to be reading things quickly, he makes plays. Still, what does it mean if you put him on a Sunday in an actual game? I don't know. But usually you just don't like the feeling of having someone who's totally unproven as like your top line backup. I mean, that's not a great place to be. So, they've tried to drafted Brady Breeze to have safety depth. They've tried different things, and of course we know what they've tried to do with the offensive line, and it just hasn't worked out. Maybe it is, though, getting progressively better. That's the thing. It's like when you talk about this discussion, like you said, like I put tackle down the list just because I feel like whoever loses a battle, at least you feel like they could come in. I mean, even Raiden's last year did come in a huge game and was okay. But if you don't feel good about your starter, you could also say, well, that's the worst because you don't even know if you have a starter at that spot.
One position we've not talked about, and I think it's a good thing that we've not talked about it, is running back. And we saw last year how important it was to have some depth at the running back position. The Titans had to go find that depth a year ago. You've been pretty high on Hilliard all camp long to this point. I'm interested for your thoughts on him, if he stood out in any way yesterday. And also, you know, Haskins, and we've not talked a ton about him. You're hoping that you don't see him a lot this year if you're a Titans fan, because that would mean that Derrick Henry is healthy and ready to go. But in terms of drop-off, I mean, anybody's going to be a pretty significant drop-off after Derrick Henry. But I feel like, for the most part, if you're a Titans fan, maybe you're feeling okay about running back right now beyond Derrick Henry?
Yes. And Hilliard looked good. Yeah, Hilliard to me has looked really good. They found something in Hilliard. And I think the thing about Hilliard is, I'm not so sure Hilliard isn't more than the third down back. I'm not so sure that Hilliard isn't also the guy who would get carries in place of Derrick Henry. To me, he's the second best running back on the team right now.
Look, he got some significant carries a year ago. Got a hold of the ball, but
yep, absolutely can't fumble. But he looks really good catching the ball, running the ball. Because obviously, you know, Derrick Henry yesterday is like, "Hey, good to see you guys. All right, say that's my sandpit. All right, good luck, guys. Have a good day." You know, he wasn't out there any of that stuff. And so Hilliard's getting the carries when they're running the ball with the ones for the most part. And look, I like how he looks. I think it's a really good situation. So that's why that spot isn't there for me. But the interesting thing past him is, I mean, I think Hassan Haskins has looked fine. And I thought in the preseason game you saw a little bit of pass catching from him. That was a good look. I actually think like Julius Chestnut is right there with him. I really do. Based on my naked eye. Now maybe Tony Dews, the running backs coach, is like, "Oh, come on." It's not even, based on what I'm seeing, and I don't know, you just don't know sometimes with Vrabel like why he makes certain decisions. Julius Chestnut was going back like home for the preseason game, and you know, so does it mean all that much that he started that game?
I was going to point that out.
I don't know, but it might mean something. It might mean something. I mean, you knew Hilliard wasn't going to play. You knew Henry wasn't going to play. And Haskins did play. It's not like it was like, "Well, we're going to hold Haskins back. Chestnut and Wilkins, go ahead." Haskins played plenty in that game. Chestnut got the start. I think that means something. So, I mean, I think when you draft a guy like Haskins where they drafted him, I'd still give him the edge to make the team. But they may have found something in Chestnut, too. That's going to be very interesting.
Andrew, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "Middle linebacker is the least important position on modern defenses. We're okay." This is coming from Andrew on the text line.
Well, I hear what you're saying. It's a passing league, and like a guy like Zach Cunningham, I don't think Zach Cunningham's going to be on the field in a lot of situations. But go look at success relative to running the ball and stopping the run. Like, there's still a correlation. And
by the way, the Titans are paying Zach Cunningham a lot of money.
They are. So obviously they feel like there's value in being really good in early downs and putting teams in bad spots and not letting teams run the football on you. So, if you lost Zach Cunningham and all of a sudden – because, look, that guy, say whatever you will about him in coverage, and it's probably all true. But that guy, as a physical presence near the line of scrimmage, yeah. And that also, by the way, he can get after the quarterback some. I mean, he can do things, and David Long can do a lot of different things. So I disagree. I mean, I think if you lost either one of those guys, you would be weakened, and especially with Long. Like, if you lose Long, Long is good in coverage now. He's good at everything. He's going to be on the field all the time. He makes plays. He just finds the ball, makes plays. You lose that? Nah, man. It's still 2 of 11 guys on the field who are required to do a lot of different things to help you stop people.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, "Where's Will Compton when you need him? LOL." Still out there.
Is he out of the league now. Is he done?
I think so.
He's with the Raiders last, right?
He was. I mean, he's not on team right now. I think he's done.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I thought he was done before, and then all of a sudden somebody comes calling.
He came in here and, you know, gave him some decent play when they needed him. The Raiders, too, a little bit. So,
I got a text that says, "Middle linebacker is the QB on defense." What's he talking about?
Well, that's true.
Some defenses. The quarterback on this defense is pretty clearly Kevin Byard.
Yeah, but, I mean, you kind of need, you know, the safeties communicate with the corners, and then David Long, I think, has the green dot,
right,
to communicate with the front. So, yeah,
They're very important.
Yeah, I understand.
The days of Ray Lewis are probably gone in the NFL, but it's still very important.
Yeah, it's not what it used to be, where the absolute best player, most important player, was Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary and on, it's Chris Spielman. It's not that, but it's, and again, what you have is like a David Long never plays. I don't know if he plays the NFL. Well, I don't know where you find a spot for him like back then. But now that guy is an inside linebacker, and he can cover, and he's fast, and he's undersized, but he makes plays. It's still really important.
So overall, I mean, the depth of the team, I still, like, outside linebacker, I think it's – if you had to identify spots where you'd like to have depth, like, outside linebacker is pretty high up on the list. Obviously, everybody would love to have quarterback depth. Very few teams actually have quarterback depth. But for the most part, if you've got a good backup quarterback, probably don't have a great starter is usually how that works. So, I am interested. We'll discuss this a little bit later, but real quickly, do you think that there's any chance the Titans look outside the organization to address backup quarterback if this continues with Woodside? Because I don't think it's going to be Willis.
Well, to show that I value many things Jared says. I thought Jared brought up a good point yesterday. Obviously, John Robinson and Jason Light are friends, and the Bucks, it's practice. But we know that Gabbert, like, I think Gabbert would definitely be the best. Yeah, he'd be a good backup. Like, you'd be okay with Gabbert as your backup. Gabbert was out there yesterday. Kyle Trask out there yesterday. My question is, because Jared's like, either one of them, are you going to keep three? If you're not keeping three, like, we want whichever one you don't want. Now, if it's Gabbert, I agree. Like, if they actually are like, Kyle Trask, we kind of like his upside, we're going to keep him, and they cut Gabbert, there you go. I think a lot of teams would be interested in that, though. Because, again, go around the league with the backups. There's a lot of bad ones. So, if it's something like that, yes. Now, Trask, I don't know.
Well, if they're going to cut one, it's probably not going to be Trask. He was a second-round pick last year.
Yeah. But then again, sometimes that does happen because you're like, oh, oops. I mean, the Titans have a second-round pick from a year ago. Could start and could – who knows? But I think you're probably right. If they feel okay, like he's still developing, maybe. Do they cut Gabbert? That would be – he'd be an upgrade. You go full circle.
It's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see how that plays out. We'll get back in that discussion to come up a little bit later in the show. Next, it is time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yeah, it's almost become a sport, like trying to figure out what Michelle's might be and then like stealing them from her.
But I have an idea because he's wearing a certain color today of one of your best or worst.
No. Are you thinking this is like a Honolulu blue?
No.
Oh.
Kentucky blue.
Oh. That would be pretty good. But no, that's not where I'm going. We've talked a lot about that. Hopefully that's your best, though, because it's amazing.
Well, it is my best. I'll just go on.
Nice. Well, my best is Nolensville Little League Baseball, folks. Okay. It's been really fun watching these kids, and they win yesterday 5-3 over Massachusetts in the Little League World Series. Just fun to see some of the plays they're making. I mean, William Satinoff with the number 8 on SportsCenter with the ridiculous play to dive, make a diving grab, throw a kid out, and like his reaction to it, is great. There's actually an awesome. It's an AP photo, and the Tennessean has this AP photo of Satinoff and Drew Chadwick, celebrating that play. Just been a blast to watch these kids. It's been fun at home. Get some classmates of my kids. And they are playing Santa Clara, Utah, on Friday in Winter's Brass Game. 2 o'clock ESPN, so catch up with these kids. It's a blast. Worst in sports. I got to go with Skip Bayless. Like, this isn't the biggest deal in the world, but maybe I'm just sort of like, maybe I've reached my little patience level with, like, hot taking.
The breaking point.
Just, like, Bronny James has this cool play and this awesome open court. I don't even know, like, what the game was, but Anyway, it's all over the interwebs. He goes up in this great dunk, and then Skip Bayless tweets, "Hey, Bronny, impressive, but your dad would have dunked it left-handed. You sure got away with it, though." It's like, I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. Like, shut up, Skip Bayless.
He's 17 years old.
Yeah, just stop. He's annoying as hell. So every once in a while, it's just probably worth just throwing him on there. So that's my worst.
Very nicely done. Michelle Knezevic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best thing is the Monte Teo documentary on Netflix. And the reason it is my best is because I was pretty young when this happened, but I distinctly remember it was the narrative surrounding it was very much making fun of him and, you know, all the memes and everything like that. And I feel like this documentary, it did Netflix and whoever was a part of making it did such a great job of showing all the different pieces that went into it. And honestly, it's just kind of sad, but it's also good because people are recognizing, oh, that's actually how it happened. And when Deadpool, you know, released the story, they wanted to because they were trying to, you know, hit on ESPN and all these big outlets that didn't actually look into this story and just kind of ran with it. But then obviously it turned into this meme central of Monte Teo and making fun of him and everything like that. But I just think it was a great story and it really shed light on what actually happened. And you can kind of look at it from a different perspective of that actually makes sense. And it's pretty crazy. People are like, how did he believe that? But some of the stuff that this catfish person did for him to believe it is pretty insane. So definitely watch it. But that's my best in sports. My worst in sports is Mitch Barnhart and his press conference. And I feel like having Kyle Tucker on, we got such a inside look. And when Kyle said that everybody was telling Cal not to say anything and then basically went behind his back and him and Stoops had their little duo press conference or whatever. But I just want to say this. If you've ever been in Memorial Coliseum, and that is where they have an addition of new renovations for where the men's basketball team plays or practices, not plays, but it's kind of really crappy, actually. Like the old part is like the ceiling's like leaking, the air conditioning sucks. And yes, they have a new part, but like I get it. What Cal was saying, but people have said to me, you know, in these last couple of days, well, Cal shouldn't really be entitled because he's only won one national championship. And I'm like, okay, there are a lot of other Hall of Fame coaches that have won. Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo, Bill Self just won his second one, right? It's very, very hard. And that should not be the deciding factor on whether he gets a new, I don't know. Everybody's just saying he shouldn't be entitled because he only won one national championship. And it just really freaking irks me and makes me so incredibly mad because there's just so many other things that go into that. And it's actually really, really, really hard to win that specific national championship. Okay, I'm done. And I know this is Robbie's best. So here we go.
All right, transition. And your thoughts?
My best thing in sports is how entitled John Calipari is for only having won one national championship. The Kentucky athletic department is coming apart at the seams, and quite frankly, I'm enjoying every second of it. We've had a lot of really enjoyable interviews on this program. Kyle Tucker's the other day was up there for me. It was just, it's a really fun time right now to watch this happen. At the end of the day, I don't think ultimately this is going to make that big of a difference one way or the other. Like, it's going to be water under the bridge, I guess. I mean, if Mark Stoops wants to stop tweeting at some point, but this is awesome.
Is he still tweeting?
No, he's not. Okay. This has been the best thing in sports.
Worst.
Probably all summer long, to be honest with you.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. And let me just play the world's smallest violin for Cal's little facility.
Yes.
How do you play a little violin?
I hate you guys so much. You are getting me so heated before this Jared segment, so now I'm going to be on Jared's side, Joe.
Now you've got to – oh, no, you should take that heat to the call with Jared. Now, don't be on his side. Unload it on Jared. You can join
the shaming
of Jared.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
All right, my worst thing in sports. Are you ready for a little sports hot take right now that I think most people probably won't like, but I'm going to say anyway?
Yeah.
There's no reason that Major League Baseball should not be in the playoffs right now. Like, the fact that the regular season is still going on and it's mid-August. I've said this before. Baseball purists don't like it, and I understand it. But the World Series should be wrapping up by Labor Day. Like, if you want to maximize, in my opinion, if you want to maximize eyeballs on your sport, have your playoffs going on while there's no regular season football or no college football. I think it's they're not going to change it because baseball, maybe more so than any other sport, with the possible exception of hockey, gets stuck in their ways a little bit too much. But I think the playoffs should be going on right now because, quite frankly, for the most part, now that football is coming back, and I don't think I'm alone here, I'm not going to be paying a whole lot of attention to baseball over the next few weeks as they heat up for their postseason run and the postseason beginning late next month. So it should be the World Series should be happening on Labor Day.
That is a hot take. It's a hot take, and I can't get there. I hear what you're saying, though. I can't get there. But it is amazing you think about going back. I mean, I remember, first of all, World Series games used to be during the day a lot of times, and, I mean, yeah, of course they're getting better ratings than football games, you know? I mean, like baseball or certainly other playoff games, often on the day, on weekend days, and doing great. And now, of course, they've gone to, you got to go primetime. Basically, you got to try to avoid football now if you're baseball. But you can still do that and play primetime games. And I like October baseball on a Wednesday, a World Series game, or a Tuesday. And even like, you know, if it's, I mean, I'll flip back and forth between football and baseball on a Thursday or whatever. I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm too old, though. It's wrong for me for there not to be amazing, like, October baseball with people breathing. You can see their breath.
I think the season should be shortened anyway. Like, there's no reason to have 162 games in baseball other than the money, which is why it will never be shortened.
Well, other than we cherish the records and everything so much. You know what I mean? I mean,
That Tigers record.
Well, I'm talking about individual records, but yeah.
I understand all that.
The Reds with their 25 wins.
Yeah. I understand all that. to me, if you really want eyeballs on your sport, there's nothing going on right now. You could have a playoff right now, and I'd be glued to it. There's nothing else happening.
Yeah. Well, another sport in that way, MLS to me, like, we're about to be going into the fall with the MLS games on weekends, and it's just you are now competing with college and pro football.
It's not a good idea really MLS, for anyone to do that.
MLS playoffs right now would be, to me, maximizing your potential.
I totally agree. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and his thoughts on Joe Rexroad as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.